They throw it out to Myers. Myers is going to run around with it.
Touchdown.
There you
touchdown, go. Touchdown, Miami. And Guavin intercepted the pitch in the end zone. It's a fumble recovery, but it's a pitch. It's a touchdown. A Guavin.
That's the way you finish it up right there, huh? A little celebration in the end zone.
33-24, the final score. The Dolphins finish at 9-8. The Patriots 10-7.
For me, I don't think there's any reflection of the season as far as right now. I mean, we just beat a tough team. I mean, really all week, you know, that's what we've been harping on is really we want to end this season with a bang. So that's what we went out there and did. And those runs, I mean, they just happened, I guess. Yeah, I personally haven't heard the chants. I don't know if they were after the runs or whatnot. So I personally didn't hear the chants. Only after the game when I was going through the tunnel, that's when I heard the chants. But I mean, the season's been up and down for me and for a lot of the guys, you know, for our team in general. You know, I'm just so happy that we could end this season off with a win. You know, and we'll see what the offseason has in plan for us.
Yes, we will. We will find out what the offseason has for all of us. It will be very interesting. Kind of crazy yesterday. I'm going to need your help, everybody, today because the team does go 9-8. They beat the Patriots twice, which doesn't happen very often. Of course, the Patriots on their way to the playoffs after their extra home game yesterday that they had with the amount of Patriot fans were at that game. And the Dolphins are done, and now got to figure a lot of things out, starting with the quarterback position to the offensive line. Basically, the whole offense has you got to figure out what you're going to do. Coaches, guys calling the plays, guys coaching certain positions. There is a lot of offseason work. And let me say, as good as the win was yesterday, you came up short from making the playoffs, and it's just not good enough. As we say, good morning. Zach's working at home. Woody's in here with us, and we got a lot of stuff to get to here. As yesterday, I will say this, the 1 o'clock games were fantastic to watch. And late night last night, we laughed about a tie, and we damn near had a tie at that field goal. Would have been just a crazy scenario to think that both those teams end up getting in because they friggin' tied last night, and the Chargers and Raiders would have been shaking hands going, hey, we're both in this thing, man. We're both going to travel this week. It's going to be crazy.
Well, I'm just happy that it wasn't Justin Herbert that got in the playoffs. If I had to make my real petty move from last night, Justin Herbert will be sitting on the couch just like the rest of us watching the playoffs.
Yeah, I would say, listen, he obviously still made some rocket throws. And
he sure did.
And impressive the things he can do. And look, there are people watched that game last night that said that should have been our guy, and that was a bad whiff. I still feel that way myself. And the Tua thing, and listen, you got the win, 33-24, a couple of defensive scores. X-Man continues a fantastic season with another defensive score for him. The Duke Johnson story has been unbelievable, comes in. Five games and turned into clearly the number one running back on this team with his 4.6 yards per carry that he's had since taking over with the 71 carries that he's had. Just a great story. His instincts, forgot how good he was, and to me even looks better, especially on first and second down. And we don't even use him for what he was known for as a third down back. So there's a lot of stuff, but this offense got to get cleaned up if we're going to talk about the playoffs, and we can talk about being one game short 2 years in a row, and you can make all the excuses you want, and we're so close, and I'd like to have this game back, and all those things. The offense not good enough. The 19 points per game, that's what you scored yesterday, 19 points. It's not good enough. Too long of droughts. Yeah, you ran the ball a little bit better yesterday, but the passing game was just awful. And honestly, as good as Tua's two runs were, and the best part of what he did was his two late runs that he made for first downs, set up a field goal and kind of close the game out there at the end with a big third down run to take off. And they were nice plays, don't get me wrong. It was good to see him run there at the end of the game. But
Joe, you're not going to win a lot of games when your quarterback throws for 109 yards.
Just so yeah, he didn't throw for enough, but also it's just how many throws just look like they had a chance to be intercepted yesterday. Yep. And it's just so I don't know. I see Greg Cody this morning from the Herald is saying, build around him. He's the guy. Build around him. And then the guy that's going to join us a little bit later on, Dave Hyde, has said basically, what are you going to do about the quarterback situation and handle that? And I don't know how many people caught it or if they talked about it on TV, but I picked up on it right away what happened at right tackle yesterday, and they made a change and put Robert Jones, who's been playing as an extra offensive lineman when they've been playing with the extra big guy on the offensive line, which, by the way, a lot of people are doing now, put your extra guy in there as a blocking tight end and make him eligible so that he can be a receiver. That's not why he's in there. So he played right tackle. Jesse Davis did not play a lot yesterday, so he got a chance to play there. He wasn't ready to play right tackle. I mean, he's been kind of a guard. He's a rookie free agent, and so we went really, really young on the offensive line yesterday, and I don't know how you evaluate it. I don't know which guys they look at and say, we think this guy's got the potential to be really good, and this guy doesn't, but it's going to be this whole offense. There's only a couple for sure keepers on this offense, and I know last week talked about it a little bit, but you have a lot of stuff to clean up. Offensive line, receivers, you got to get more from your receivers. And then the biggest decision you have to make, here we are, man. We drafted him, and here we are 2 years later and 21 starts later. And I don't know what the team's going to do. And by the way, I don't know what they can do to upgrade it. Like, I don't know what the chances are. I had fans late last night, ended up staying in that parking lot for a long time last night. And everybody and the fans all have their own take on this thing I don't want Deshaun Watson. He's going to be a problem when he gets here. And said, well, there are a lot of people going to want Deshaun Watson. We're not going to be the only ones, because I do believe we are going to definitely check in to see what it's going to cost and try to figure out.
There's nothing to check in on right now until he figures his stuff out.
Well,
and
listen.
That's really, Joe, that's what we talked about a lot last week. Like, realistically, what are your options as far as if you did want to upgrade that position? Deshaun Watson would be.
That might be it.
Probably it, right? The best move probably at this point is to use a second or third round pick and try to hit on someone to at least give some competition to Tua, but realistically the situation right now, right?
I gotta be honest with you, yes. That's probably the situation, is to grab one of these guys that you might like in college, one of these schools, whether it's Reno, Nevada, Liberty. We could go through all the schools that have a quarterback out there that you might have seen play and you kind of liked. There's a guy in North Carolina the Pitt quarterback, and there will be plenty of time to go through the list of – I kind of like this quarterback list, but the Dolphins are going to have to – and by the way, got to evaluate everything. Coaches, guys calling the plays, the offensive line coaches, in my opinion, did not do a good enough job. I didn't see their guys improve enough. Those things, the Solomon Kinley mystery to me is still unbelievable, how he went from a starter to a guy they literally, he couldn't get back on. There would have had to be so many guys injured for him to get playing time. It was incredible.
He's behind Robert Jones just to even give you that at this point.
Yeah. So
I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's one of the great doghouses that we've ever had, a guy that came in as a young player and started a lot of games to where he is right now. So there's a lot of evaluation. And by the way, if I'm an offensive line coach and Solomon Kinley, I don't have him good enough to get a chance to get back in and compete with a struggling offensive line all year, I'd look in the mirror and not be real happy with the job that I did as an offensive line coach. That one would bother me. But there's a lot of work to do, man, and I know it's a 9-8. You beat the Patriots twice, like I said before. You beat the Jets twice. couldn't beat the Bills this year. Come up, you know, a game short, and and all the other things. So, hey, listen, I did hear it all last night.
It's a very misleading winning record, by the way. Let's get that out of the way. Before we celebrate a winning record, that final number is very misleading.
Oh, they still went 9-8. You have to. You can't.
You're 9-8 because you had an extra week. I mean, they're a .500 team this year. They were a middle of the road mediocre team. They were not a winning record team this year.
They got their ass kicked in some games. Yes, they got in some games against the best teams in football, starting with Tampa Bay and starting with Tennessee last week. They got their butts kicked, and that is concerning the way they got kicked around, especially Tennessee, who struggled to win yesterday. The Texans went after them. By the way, the games yesterday were just sensational. Somebody forgot to tell the Jets and all those teams, like, you got no shot, man. Just don't forget about it, because it was a pretty
good. Joe, you think our loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars was bad? Why don't you ask Indianapolis how that felt yesterday?
Yeah. Boy, that knocked them right out of the playoffs. Yeah, that one was a stinger of all of them. And a Colts team that at times just dominated people with their running game, their defense, and boy, you talk about a two-personality team. And for some reason, there are certain matchups, like the 49ers see the Rams on their schedule and right. go, we got them. And the Colts go, oh no, we got to go to Jacksonville. No matter how bad they are, they always beat us.
That's one of the worst losses in the history of the NFL, though. I mean, you know what Jacksonville was doing yesterday, right? What the theme of the game was?
Yeah, the clowns.
The clown out?
A little bit like our show sometimes.
Unofficially, it was a clown out. We talked about it.
I like to call it the ass clown show. I just thought Jacksonville just went all in on the ass clown show.
But you can't lose in a win and get into the playoff game when the other team's doing a clown out.
Right.
You don't lose on clown out day. Like, that's...
By the way,
franchise altering loss.
Well, there is something the Colts, the Bills, and the Dolphins have in common. They all lost to that crappy Jacksonville team.
Yeah, but at least the Dolphins lost on the week where the coach had the little semi-affair deal where he didn't fly home with the team. He didn't lose on clown out day, at least.
That was pretty much a clown show on the side, though.
That was some new stuff. Yeah, it was not good.
Somebody tell Hollywood if they would have won that game, they'd be in the playoffs at this point.
Yeah, well.
Well, you say that about any of the games.
Listen, I'm
not. The Dolphins are not a playoff team, though. It's fine.
I'm not going back.
The Dolphins are not a playoff team.
Yeah, I'm not going back and go through the, you know, well, we beat Jacksonville. I'm just not going to do that either. Refuse to do that and, like, oh. The worst team on your schedule ends up beating you and holds you out of the playoffs. I'm just – Dolphins had – they lost seven straight games. You lose seven straight games, you don't really deserve to go to the playoffs. You just – at the other end of that is perfect. And listen, they played their ass off. It was a great look for Coach Flores yesterday, because those guys, they were in it to play and jumped all over them early. And hung in there to hang on and get the win. And it says a lot, because I was curious to see which team. You knew the Patriots at the time, especially with Buffalo in a tight ball game with the Jets throughout the game and until the fourth quarter there. They were playing. They wanted to – Belichick wanted to win that game. He was playing to win that game, and not the start he was looking for, going down 14-0. Listen, we got a lot of stuff to get to. The playoffs are set. Titans and Packers will be the number one seeds. We'll get you caught up on all that stuff. We already had a coach go down, man. I got up Sunday morning, and we already had a coach down in Denver, man. And more to come today. And what will the Miami Dolphins do when they finally have all those meetings with the ownership and try to figure out, do you trust the general manager and his staff to go forward and pick? We'll talk about some of the picks they've made that were good, some that were bad. Did they do enough at their end with all those high picks that they've had over the last 2 years to give you a chance to win? We'll break some of that stuff down. Zach, what do you got for us this morning?
All right, well, I'll tell you about Zaffer Rum. Tell you how you can enjoy this kind of victory Monday for the Dolphins, or just basically any Monday or weekend, does not matter what, with a great, great product. I was blown away when I tried it a couple years ago. It was Zaffer Rum, and now it's my favorite. It's my total drink of choice because it's unlike any other rum that I've ever had before. It's aged in bourbon oak casks, so if you're looking for an upscale, luxurious spirit, you found it. Two different bottles for Zaffer Rum, by the way, a 21-year-aged bottle or the limited edition 30-year-age bottles of Zaffa rum, perfectly balanced with a taste of fruit and spice. It's got that elegant aroma because of those bourbon oak casks I always tell you about. And it's great for top-shelf cocktails, sipping it straight up or on the rocks, and great with your favorite cigar. Now we're in the NFL playoffs. We got the national championship game tonight. Get yourself a bottle of Zaffa rum. Enjoy it. Enjoy it with the game tonight. Or if you're a cigar person, that's the best part, too, because Cigar Aficionado magazine recommends Zaffa rum by saying with its spice and oak barrel flavors, it's a spirit that seems purpose-built for a cigar. They've also received an exceptional 95-point rating for the Beverage Tasting Institute. It's just another one of their prestigious awards there over there at Zaffa Rum. And now it's your turn to enjoy it. Ask for it at your favorite retailer, restaurant, or bar. Follow them on Facebook and Instagram. They're social media friendly. That's Zaffra, Z-A-F-R-A. Zaffa Rum reminds you to always drink responsibly. And remember, there is no rum without Zaffra.
I mean, right now, it's, you know, my thoughts are on, you know, kind of enjoying this. You know, I think you got to give credit to the Patriots and Bill and his staff. You know, and congratulate them on their season. I mean, they did a nice job. And, you know, obviously played well today. And, you know, the offseason, those are things that, you know, we'll start to get into, you know, in the future. But right now, just kind of trying to enjoy this moment.
All right, that was Brian Flores, who I give him credit, man. They played their ass off yesterday. They did, and first time in, God, I can't remember how many years they said yesterday they've had a winning record in back-to-back seasons, although, listen, I'm a little numb to winning records. I want to make the playoffs, and I want to win a playoff game. That's kind of where I'm at. I'm running out of time. I think a lot of people are going, that's great that we got that win, and, you know, and it was good to see, and all the plays the defense made and a couple of runs that Tua made there at the end to stop it as it looked like the Patriots might have a chance and get the ball back one more time and all that. But you make the playoffs. And so, you know, I look at this thing. It's 9-8. It's boy, okay, winning record. I get it, but it's not good enough. Just it's not good enough. You didn't make the playoffs. And you had a seven-game losing streak, and that doesn't just go away. The seven-game losing streak, like, oh, that was just the start. No. You lost seven straight. And good teams don't lose seven straight. You lose three out of four. You lose two out of three. We've done that. We've done that with our good teams. We've had that where we've had a bad run before picking it back up. And you don't lose seven straight games, especially some of the teams are on that. That wasn't all playoff teams that you lost to during that time. So there is some overall disappointment, and offensively, we just didn't get better. And I'm asking everybody today this question. Tua was 15 of 22 for 109 yards, a long of 17. And if it wasn't for a couple of nice play-action fakes where you got some tight ends and Waddle open in the end zone where you fooled him and maybe a little pick in there, maybe a little pick as well. But outside of that, you know, it's not good enough. Like, we weren't playing in cold weather yesterday. I know there was a little rainstorm there, but you got to be able to make more plays offensively in the passing game. And listen, they ran the ball great, and Duke Johnson is just a great story. I don't know what that says about your team, though. You pick up a guy five games ago, and he comes in, and he's clearly your best running back. But that's the case. Duke came in and just ran with power and balance and just all the things that he did to really have you – feeling good to throw out a couple of Dukes out there to kind of get you all fired up.
Joe, they need help all over this offense. Like there's
that's correct.
I don't think there's a pinpointed you need this or you need this to get over the hump. They need help at every part in this offense, from offensive line to quarterback to wide receivers to running back. It's just unbelievable how just less than 2.5 years ago you started this rebuild, and offensively I don't know how much better you are outside of a couple of named players that you have on the team that have the potential to be really good players. Where are they better?
They're not.
They're not. And that's the scary part about this whole rebuild and everything, that you did not get much better at all in 2.5 years.
You're not better. And we somehow got super lopsided from the defensive side of the ball and all the talent you have on defense to what you have on offense. And matter of fact, in the rotation guys defensively, the Nick Needhams and the Sealers and Van Ginkels, and those guys are really, really good players who have great value now on the open market of like, man, those guys are all going to get some money down the road here. And those aren't even your frontline guys. Christian Wilkins just went out and made himself just an unbelievable season for the amount of tackles he ended up making from a defensive tackle position. He almost led the team in tackles with I think he went over 90 tackles yesterday with the things that he was able to do. So you got a lot of great stories on the defensive side of the ball, and then you're like, but what the hell happened? Is it coaching? We've got a group of offensive linemen. Look at this. Listen to this, folks, if you're just getting up with this. Eichenberg, first year, left tackle. Jackson, second year, left guard. Michael Dieter, third year, center. Robert Hunt, second year, right guard. And Robert Jones, first year, rookie, free agent, right tackle. That's what you had with Solomon Kinley as one of your extra second year, fourth round pick, coming off the bench. And I sit here now from the start of the season to the end of the season, and outside of everybody telling me how good Robert Hunt is and that he's a frontline guy, I can't tell you about the rest of the guys on that group. Now, I can tell you this, Eichenberg needs to come back and put him in one friggin' position, whatever it is, and go, you're the guy. You just got a ton of experience. We got to coach you up, and you've got to play. But outside of that, Austin Jackson, I didn't see enough to give him a job.
Nope.
Right tackle, obviously, yesterday you decided Jesse Davis. Basically, you pulled him out after a few plays of the game, and you went with a rookie free agent in there, just to give you an idea. So they've got that. They've got that whole thing they've got to figure out. I think it's nothing against anybody coaching, man. Coaching's not easy. I get it. There's a reason, you know, that offensive line coaches, I don't think, grow on trees. I don't. I think they're a special breed of guys. The ones that get through, they get a group to play together. And a great example of that is that New England Patriots offensive line. Even yesterday, I'm not a big Mac Jones fan. I don't think he's as good as most people think he is in the national media. I'm not that impressed with him. But he had time to pat the ball a few times yesterday again. I was like,
sure did.
He, and they can run, you know, they stick with it. They're very well coached, is my point, that group. And I look at our group, and I just don't think to myself, wow, they're well-coached. That's a well-coached young group, and they're getting better. I just don't see it now.
That brings us to the text machine, because I just want to update you this morning here. We're getting a lot of response here early on, and there's a lot of stuff directed towards the coaching staff. And I don't think Flores has any chance of getting fired today, do you?
No. Short of they call him in and go, hey, we got to do some. What are we going to do about this offense? 19 points a game is not enough. Like, we can't win with these numbers that we're putting up. We can't do it. I know we ran the ball better against the Patriots and it was great, but we're not good enough. That's not good enough. What are we going to do? And who are you going to? What's the game plan? Are we going to get a big personality in here, a guy, and are you going to leave him alone to run your offense? Or offensive line coach? We have gone through a lot of offensive line coaches, a lot of offensive line coaches, and we've gone through a lot of coordinators. Yep. So
So what do you do here now if you're Brian Flores? Do you start all over with all new coaches, offensive coordinator and offensive line coach? Because I think you have to do something to make yourself look a little bit better. Because Brian Flores did a pretty good job on that defense with Boyer. But that offense, jeez. So, and it has a lot to do with coaching, like you said, too, I think.
So, yeah. No. I agree that the coaches can't get a hall pass.
Right.
You've got to go back. So on behalf of the coordinators, I can tell you this, and I'm pretty sure without getting in trouble here this morning. Those guys ran an offense that they felt with the shortcomings of the offensive line and stuff. They thought that offense, which, by the way, you saw in the first drive, that first drive was what this offense was about. Short passes, run, short passes, run, and we did enough to go down the field and score, right? And then how many times have we seen it after the first drive? We disappear for a while.
Right. They fall apart after the kind of planned first series of each half comes out and they look good. And then all of a sudden, what happens?
Everybody makes adjustments to us and takes away things we do. Right. And we're going, well, we don't really have another plan because we're limited and we don't trust our offensive line. And this is the best we can do with the quarterback we have and how much we trust him. I didn't think Tua threw the ball. For all you Tua, and by the way, there are a lot of Tua fans. And I like the guy. It's nothing personal. It is nothing personal on a Monday morning at 6:32. But I'm telling you right now, he made throws yesterday. I would have, if I was a coordinator, would have been scared to death to let him throw the football. There were a lot of passes that were almost intercepted, and he scares me. Even the one that he threw up in the end zone on the pass interference call, which, by the way, to me was a little shaky on the pass interference call for the Patriots, so I don't sound like a complete homer this morning. What the hell was that? It was late. It was like thrown up, and it was like, okay, Mac, jump up over this guy and make the play, and hopefully if you don't, he at least mugs you, and we can get the ball down there where we can score. And
pass.
Again, and this is coming off the cold weather comments, and I wasn't here last week, and please don't ever say that you can't throw the ball in cold weather and you got to work on it. Please don't ever. I appreciate your honesty. You were telling everybody you haven't played in cold weather, which, by the way, leads me to another point. This is just me. This one's been bothering me all weekend since Tua said this last week. So when we're drafting a quarterback, does anybody look into, can he throw it in cold weather? Because we're going to have to play cold weather games in wind and rain and snow. That all of a sudden he goes, yeah, man, I can't throw it in this stuff. I need to go get some work in cold weather. I think I'm going to go see my brother or go up to Alaska or go to Canada for a while. No, don't say that. Don't make those comments. Like I just took it for granted. Like he had. And I know he's from Hawaii. I know where he's from. And I know his background and playing in Alabama, which is in the southeast, so you don't catch a lot of cold weather there. But, yeah, that's not what I want to hear because, folks, those cold weather games aren't going away. Next year, I don't know when we're playing when we're playing the Patriots and the Jets and the Bills, but there's always a good chance we're playing somebody late December.
Is the Tennessee game the best example of what this team really is? Because to me, that was the game, Joe. That was the one that you had to win, you had to play well in, and all the deficiencies of this team kind of really shine in that game, lack of a better word there. But that, to me, was the game that really best defines this team this season because you had the two ups and downs, the winning streak, the losing streak, and I kind of – almost throw this Patriots game out. Like it doesn't mean all that much to me when you kind of go out there and have nothing to lose and, you know, you go out and play that game. But the Tennessee game to me is really the game that best defines this season and this team and shows that there needs to be major changes.
Well, you played against the best team. Tennessee's the best team right now. They're the number one seed. You played in cold weather, where everybody was throwing out your record in cold weather and you're not physical team.
Enough with this cold weather thing. Like,
No, but it's cold weather. Silly. I'm just saying. But they have stats out there on cold weather. It is silly, by the way. You're right. And it's a bad look because it makes all the warm weather finesse Dolphins went up and played a physical Tennessee team and got kicked around on the line.
What was it, 30-something degrees? Is that what it was? I mean, you've played in games colder than that, haven't you?
Yes. My quarterback had no trouble throwing in any kind of weather.
Most good ones don't.
No problems at all. Grew up in Pittsburgh where he saw lots of snow and cold weather growing up every day and treated it like every day was 80 degrees. Did not go through all that stuff. Anyway, hey, listen, without trying to bring him in and leaving him out of the conversation.
Too late.
It didn't last very long. Damn it, it didn't last very long. Sorry about that, Danny. But it came up. So, yeah, we've got some work ahead, man. There should be nobody going, oh, we're so close. No, we're not close. That offense and the way the special teams played until yesterday where both kickers end up having really good games. The kick at the end of the game was unbelievable. To get it down to 3-yard line and just wipe the clock out right there was great. But special teams during the year, not good enough. They took about 14 steps backwards. And offensively, it's the same old story, man. Just same old story that we got to get a lot better. And it's just, I can't believe how much better the defense is and the players they have on defense compared to the offense. It's just, it's about as lopsided. I would be, if I'm that front office, I'd be friggin' embarrassed today. Like, how do we let that happen? And I don't know, maybe the GM, assistant GM, and the consulting GM, because we got friggin' more people that got a GM title. Maybe they can get it all figured out here.
They better, and quickly.
But I'll tell you what, man, I'd have a nice big meeting with a lot of people and go through, hey, we did the two-year rebuild. Let's sit down and spend some time together and evaluate overall how we did in those two drafts. How we did. Because not making the playoffs is not acceptable, even though it happens every friggin' year. People go, what do you want? What do you want, John? I go, I want to make the playoffs and win a playoff game. Right. I'm not even talking about a Super Bowl. I'm not even talking about being a number one seed. I'm not talking about being a New England or a Tennessee or Pittsburgh or Baltimore or any of the other teams that recently have been a number one seed. We got to go to break
this
here.
This is funny, by the way. So we've been on the air, 35 minutes, give or take here, Joe? We have so many names that have come up on the text machine as to who needs to go, who's responsible for this, from coaches to we just got the owner's name popped in there. We got a bunch of offensive linemen, quarterback. I mean, we've gotten every name possible that has come in here in about 35 minutes.
Can you imagine the conversation? Because there's no way the coach can the owner, Stephen Ross, watching a game with all the other guys, and guys going to be on Bruce, and some of the guys going to be owning the team down the road going, you know, this feels really good today. Like, we came up short, but it feels really good. No, I walked out and didn't feel good. It didn't feel good. By the way, with mostly Patriot fans last night, that didn't.
Well, the game was in Foxborough, right? Foxborough South.
Well, they got liquored up. It was a late night for them. I can tell you that. They enjoyed the hell out of themselves down here. We got to go to break here. Got a lot more stuff to get to. 305-567-0560. We got the national championship game tonight. Round two with Georgia and Alabama. And, oh, by the way, our other teams in town are playing really well. We did not forget about them. We'll get to some of that stuff as well. How about Canes basketball? Canes friggin' basketball is on fire right now. Coach L, man, what the hell happened? Going to Duke and getting a win? Crazy. All right, right now I want to talk to you about your South Florida Chevy dealers this morning. Never too early in the morning to get back and start talking about South Florida Chevy dealers and all the new products, man, those new Tahoes and Suburbans, new look, more space. How about the midsize SUV? One of my favorites, that new Traverse, man, plenty of space for you and a family. Does not feel like a midsize SUV. No, it doesn't. And then the Trailblazer, the Blazer, and the Equinox. If you like SUVs but you like the smaller ones, well, I'll tell you what, you want to talk about substance. That Trailblazer has got a fantastic look and so roomy, so roomy. Chevy's really been into a lot of their new looks, more room for you and your family. And our SUVs right now, whether it's a Trailblazer, the Blazer, the Equinox, man, we've got the perfect SUV for you and your family. And then all these Silverado trucks, you looking, and for a lot of you out there doing a lot of work now, a lot of handyman stuff, need a truck, need a strong, durable truck so you can make a living and still have a truck big enough for the family. We got them. Big, strong Silverado trucks, all different styles to fit your lifestyle. Corvettes and Camaros. I'm running out of time, man, but hey, you got to come check it out. We got the best overall products we've ever had in the history of Chevrolet. And convenient locations in Dade, Broward, even Monroe County. Find new roads and fall in love today at your South Florida Chevy dealer. Hey, welcome back here on a Monday. Appreciate all the texts that are coming in here early this morning for those of you that are feeling passionate about what needs to be fixed. And how are you going to go about fixing it? Because we're back to normal drafts, folks. There's no more 3-1s and 2-2s and 2-3s and 2-2s and 2 and 2 and...
We got fours, fives, and sixes.
Yeah.
Right.
What we need are threes, twos, and ones.
Man.
And I got to find out, we have to find out who those threes, twos, and ones are if we have any of those guys.
That's what we got to find out. We got to find out what the hell do we have. And by the way, I'm not giving anybody in the front office a hall pass either.
Well, who deserves one? Nobody. Who deserves a hall pass?
I would say this. Brian Flores going 9-8, even though he lost seven straight games. It would be hard for me to imagine they get rid of Brian Flores.
Right. I agree with that.
I would be surprised. Now, within his coaching staff, coach, if you don't like being known as a defensive-minded coach, then you need to do something. Whether that means stay away from it or find somebody that's maybe got a strong personality or at least has beliefs offensively that you have to come in and fix this thing. And I know he's loyal to certain coaches and certain styles. You got to go back and you got to evaluate everyone, especially on the offensive side of the ball. You got to go back and evaluate all of your coaching staff, especially the offensive line. You got to ask yourself, why did our guys not improve with all those high draft picks, all the money that we spent, and all those young guys that played yesterday, and another guy on the bench that played a lot of football last year that couldn't get on the field? How come we didn't see enough improvement in that group? That would be it. And the other one you have to, and it's the biggest one, is a quarterback. Tua Tagovailoa, you have to make a decision on, and you may be in a situation where this may be the best you have, and it could be. As somebody asked me last night, I said, there's a chance he's back. There's a chance he's back and is the starting quarterback of the Miami Dolphins next year. Would not be shocked to say it because of the circumstances of what you have out there in the draft. Not supposed to be a strong draft class of quarterbacks. What's going to be an upgrade that you can realistically get? I don't know what's going to happen with Russell Wilson. I guess the only one that we know is going to change teams, and I don't even know where he stands right now, is Deshaun Watson.
The biggest question mark of the offseason, Deshaun Watson.
Is going to be Deshaun Watson. Does he want to come here? What's the price tag going to look like? What are you going to have to give up? Because even if you bring in Deshaun Watson, that doesn't – you still got to upgrade all those other positions. That doesn't just like, oh, you got Deshaun, now we're okay. Now we're like, no. You still got to upgrade your offensive line. You got to decide which guys, by the way, you're going to have back. I'll be honest with you, another position that shouldn't get a hall pass is a wide receiver position.
No way, of course.
That thing, and I'm a big Mike Gesicki fan. I'm afraid I'm a bigger Mike Gesicki fan than the coaching staff is right now. That scares me. I feel like he had times where they just didn't throw him the football. He ended up putting up nice numbers this year, but he went through some droughts. He went through a drought in there of not getting the ball thrown and to him and those type of things. So there's a lot of work. And by the way, there's probably somebody out there going, well, Joe, don't forget about running backs. I didn't.
So you've named just about every position on the team. And
everything's got to be upgraded.
So let me ask you this, because we're getting this, and we talked about it last week as well. What about the nuclear option here of going in and blowing the entire thing up and starting from scratch once again? Basically, because Chris Greer, if he's responsible, like the Texas, if he's responsible for the Tua draft pick, then he probably has to go at this point.
He is
right?
Responsible for it. What do you mean if?
Well,
he's the general manager.
There's a lot of a lot of stuff goes around about who was really responsible for that pick.
But when is he going to be the GM? When's the GM going to be the GM?
Right.
I'm so tired of hearing about.
Inexcusable at this point. Go back to what I was originally asking you guys. The nuclear option of just basically blowing this thing up and starting over again. Do you even look into that? And I know that the Harbaugh name was thrown out there, and I know we have to get to break and get to the 7 o'clock hour, but like is that something that you explore, giving the keys to this thing to Harbaugh and letting him come in here and rebuilding from scratch?
Is he gonna be your general manager also?
He probably would be, yeah.
No.
If you gave him that job, you would probably give him a lot of power. You know that.
Yeah. I'm good.
I'm gonna pass.
I'll pass.
I'm going to pass on Harbaugh coming in and
if it's not Harbaugh,
full control.
Do you still blow this thing up and try again? Because I think you have so many issues on this team that you need to fix.
You have a.
How else do you fix the quarterback position without becoming a bad team?
You have to get the quarterback thing. This is even at his best with a lot around him, I'm still not sold that two after 21 starts. I personally have seen enough.
Oh boy, that's the kiss of death right there. I've seen enough.
Well, what else is there to see? There's no question you've seen enough.
What have you seen the last two games? We talked about stepping up in competition the last two games. I'm not even talking about the Jets game, just the last two. And you're going.
He doesn't even show flashes of being able to make big plays.
No. Joe, the number one and number two thing about this rebuild to fix, find a franchise quarterback and build the offensive line. Chris Greer failed at both.
Correct.
100%. It's a failure. Not a D grade, not a C minus, an F. He got an F grade after this. That should say enough. And Garfinkel and Stephen Ross and the powers that be should think about that when you go into this offseason. If you like Brian Flores, that's fine. But your general manager failed you in this rebuild.
I would just look at this. You handed him the two biggest drafts in the history of this franchise. And there's no reason to bring out the amount of ones you've had, the amount of twos you've had, and the amount of threes. And by the way, what the hell was the Hunter Long deal? What was that about?
Oh, God.
What was that about your fifth string? Third round pick is a fifth string tight end when everybody was healthy. It just, what was that about with all the needs you had? What the hell are you doing with Hunter friggin' Long drafting him in the third round?
Doesn't make sense.
What was that about?
Didn't make sense then, doesn't make sense now, Joe.
And the one last night that if you didn't see it, and I don't want to hear from anybody, and so I had somebody come up to me last night, and we got into the whole talk about Justin Herbert. And they go, man, I honestly, Joe, I didn't think he was going to be that good. It was Scott Zolak. He goes, man, I was a little surprised he was this good, man. I saw him, and I didn't think much of him either. And I go, yeah, and a lot of people felt that way. But guess what? It's not your job.
Right.
Your job is to do a talk show every day and be a homer for the Patriots. Your job is not to friggin' know how good he is. It's our job. Those guys, that's what they're trained for. They're trained. Does he look like it? Is he tall? Has he got all the goods? What? It? And you whiffed. You whiffed. And I'm not even talking about Joe Burrow.
How many passes he threw last night, by the way?
Yeah, he put up stupid. What did he throw?
64 passes last night, Joe.
Crazy. Hey, listen, we got to go to break. We got 7 o'clock hour, but no hall passes. The season's over, and there are no hall passes. Let it rip. You can join me if you want. I'm not out to make friends in the Dolphins organization here at 6:55 in the morning when we come up short. Should have the rebuild. I was watching. I was drinking the Kool-Aid, okay, but we got to hit on these draft picks. And the truth of the matter is we didn't hit on a high enough percentage. I know it's not 100%. Nobody's getting straight A's in the drafts, but we missed. We'll take a quick break. 7 o'clock hour's coming up.